I would invite your attention now to our scripture lesson for the morning, St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 21. St. John 14, verses 15 through 21. The promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, an advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you know me, and I in you. They who have my commandments will keep them, are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Help wanted. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I really believe that the Scripture comes alive for us as we are able to place and put ourselves in the story. I believe we can understand just what the disciples are feeling in our passage, because in some way or another, we have all felt that feeling of separation. For the disciples, it is Jesus who is saying, I will not leave you orphans. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. You can understand the disciples' fear. For the world around them was not friendly to them. They had lost, had been taken away. Because of their discipleship, all of their customs and traditions, because of their discipleship, they were no longer in the mainstream. They were alienated, living on the margins, you might say. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you. And I don't believe it is unfair to say that it was not until the day of Pentecost that it became real for them. Jesus saying, I will send you an advocate. There are many translations of this word advocate, counselor, helper, enabler, comforter. It is the word to us that the Holy Spirit will become real. It is the word to us, Christ saying, I will be with you forever. I wanted to pick up on that definition of the word comforter. For often we can picture it only as sorrow, or only as sympathy, and certainly the Holy Spirit comes to be with us at those moments. But the translation is broader, in that it means be strong, be brave. To be able to receive the Holy Spirit is to be able to adjust and to deal with the very struggles of life. The power comes to make us strong. And we are able to acknowledge the very places that we need help. We need help to love Christ. I say that because we do not have the advantage of that physical presence. Sometimes it's easy to believe what it is that we can see. But to love Christ is to have the Spirit within us so it becomes real within our life. You know, you can't help but marvel at the love of God. The love of God, you can't help but marvel. A little girl was holding her dolls one day, holding them close, and she said to her mother, "Mom, I just love them and love them and love them, and they never love me back." We have to be careful, for God loves us and loves us and loves us. And we have to be careful that we never love God back. We need help with this. And the Spirit comes to help us. And the more we love God, and I wanted you to hear this, the more we love God, the more God is revealed to us. And the stronger we are on this life's journey. Let me move on to say that we need help in keeping the commandments. And the definition of those commandments is broader than "thou shalt not." A husband said to his wife, "Honey, wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be fantastic to take a trip to the Holy Land? And we could stand on the top of Mount Sinai and shout the commandments." The wife responded, "It would be better if we stayed home and tried to keep them." Thou shalt not. I don't care how old we may get and how responsible we may want to be. There is something for all of us when we are told, "Don't do it. Thou shalt not." There is something that happens in all of us that there is just the tendency to want to rebel. If we can hear this word, if we can hear obedience and commandments in just a little different way, if we can hear them in terms of grace being extended to us, if we can hear them as an invitation, then suddenly they do not become such a burden. Suddenly we can hear in those commandments the very things that Jesus was saying in the Beatitudes. I believe it's Matthew 5. In the Beatitudes, as Jesus was teaching, Jesus said, "Blessed are they." And the translation for blessed is happy. So Jesus says, "Happy are they." Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And instead of "thou shalt not," Jesus says, "You shall be." You shall be the light of the world. You shall be the salt of the earth. There's something else about obedience. It has a way of keeping you close to the one that you love. A little boy was mad and he was driving his bicycle around the block, just feverishly driving his bike. And finally a police officer stopped him and said, "What are you doing?" The little boy said, "I'm mad and I'm running away from home." The police officer asked him, "Why then are you just driving around the block?" He said, "My mother told me not to cross the street." Something about obedience, it keeps you close to the one you love. That is why we're able to say with meaning, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand." We need help with obedience. It is a sign of God's love. And then we need help with the truth. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is truth. I don't know about you, but every time I pick up the newspaper, there seems to be a different opinion on the same subject. Or when you turn on the television and you're hearing the news and you're hearing all of the commentaries, you just can't help but wonder, what is the truth? What is the truth? And then we long for truth in our relationships. A little boy was walking along the beach and he saw sitting underneath the umbrella a lady who looked kind of motherly. So he went over to her and he said to her, do you read your Bible? And she said, "Yes." "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes." "Do you pray often?" She said, "Yes." He smiled and then he said to her, "Will you hold my quarter for me while I go swimming?" We long for truth. We long for truth. We long for truth in our relationships. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit, God working within us. The Holy Spirit, God there abiding with us. The Holy Spirit. We can know that we are never alone. And I think this is important for Burns Church right now. I think it is important for us at this hour, as we are seeking and looking and searching for God's direction, as we're trying to open our doors, open hearts, open minds, open doors, as we're trying to do all of those things, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. That is why we celebrate the diversity all in our midst, our Tongan fellowship, but all throughout our midst. That is why we take time and we come for communion. It reminds us also of the gift and the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit. All I think we can say is, help wanted. Amen.